Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, we are going to be looking at verses 7 and 8. And this portion of Scripture is very dear to my heart. These are two verses that are very personal to me. And I believe you'll see why as soon as we read verse 8. We're going to begin with verse 8. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul very clearly was a man who thought very little of himself in the flesh. He was not high on himself. He thought very little of himself, just like John the Baptist did. John the Baptist, along with all of God's true preachers, did not want himself to be even known. He did not want himself to be considered in the message of Scripture. They asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter." He wasn't trying to promote his name. None of God's true preachers are. They asked him, "Are you that prophet?" And he said, "I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. No, I'm not that prophet." We're pointing to that prophet. Paul had the same view of himself. He had the same feeling about himself. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "I'm the chief of sinners." That's what he said about himself. "I am the chief of sinners." When he looked at himself, when he looked within himself, he was so disgusted. So disgusted with what he saw. He said in Romans 7, "I'm a wretched man." Think about that. The Apostle Paul, that's what he said. After God converted him, as a writer of the Scripture, he said, "I'm a wretched man." That's what he felt about himself. That's why it was so shocking to him that God would give him the stewardship of the gospel. It was shocking to him that God would allow him the privilege to preach. What a great privilege it is. He said in verse 8, "Unto me." He told Timothy, "Before I was a persecutor of the very people that I now preach to." Followers of Christ. He said, "I was injurious toward them. I injured them. I tortured them. I murdered them." I murdered them. He said, "I blasphemed the very God I'm now preaching. I was a blasphemer." So he said, you can see my shock. You can understand my absolute shock over the fact that God would choose me to declare His glorious news. Shocking. Me? Of all people, me? Every true preacher and every true believer, every quickened believer cries right along with him, "Why me? Why me?" Most of the times you see people in the world, they're angry with everything and angry with God, and they cry, "Why me? Why me?" All of God's people are saying, "Why me? Of all people, knowing what I am, why me?" Paul said, "I'm the least of all saints." I'm the least of all saints. There's a man that I'm sure many of you have heard of. His name is Charles Spurgeon. And he was a English preacher in the late 1800s, a preacher of the gospel. And I love what he said about this verse of Scripture. He said, in his English language, he said, "I do not quarrel with Paul's language, but I do dispute his right to push me out of my place." He said, "Less than the least is a position which I had hoped to occupy, but he has taken it from me. And I would fain give him a touch on the shoulder and say, 'Friend, go up higher.'" He said, Paul said he was the least of all saints, and I say I'm the least of all saints. I say he's greater than me. And I believe all of God's people say that. I'd like to say the same thing to Mr. Spurgeon. "Friend, go up higher. I'm the least. I'm the least." Handling the gospel in any way is a very humbling thing. It's a very humbling thing. It's a very lowering thing. Being a preacher of God's true gospel is a humbling, lowering thing. And being a receiver, being a believer, is a humbling thing. When God's gospel comes to a sinner, it humbles. It abases, it lowers man and lifts Christ up. Very humbling. But even though Paul felt very humble, very lowly toward himself, he felt very highly of the one he preached to. Highly of the Christ he preached, and he felt highly of his brethren, the ones that he preached to. He did not say, "I'm the least of the apostles." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm the least of all saints. I'm the least of every saint that God has called. I'm the least of all of them. I'm the least." If that is written in the Word of God, it's true. If God wrote that in His Word, it's true. Paul was not just buttering them up. He meant every word of that. He meant it in his heart. "I'm the least. I'm the least." You may remember he had a falling out with Barnabas. He and Barnabas had to go separate ways. They had to break fellowship for a while. But he still thought, "Barnabas is a greater saint than I am." He had to rebuke Peter to the face. Peter was trying to go back to the deeds of the law to impress some Jews. And Paul told him, "We've been set free from that. And you're being a bad example to the Gentiles and the Jews." And he had to rebuke him to the face. But he still thought, "Peter is a greater saint than I am." All of the letters that he wrote, all of these epistles, this epistle to the Ephesians, the epistle to the Galatians, you read what he wrote to the Corinthians and the Galatians, and he had some hard things to say. He had some real correction to sin. Some of those congregations were just a mess, a total mess, but he still called them brethren. And he considered them to be greater than himself. Verse 8, he said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach." That I should preach. He felt so lowly of himself. And he felt very highly of the ones he preached to. He felt in his heart that the ministry of preaching the gospel was the greatest gift that God could ever give him. And I feel the same. I feel the exact same way. The ministry of preaching this gospel, this is the greatest gift I could ever receive. This is the greatest gift. Paul was never acknowledged. He was never given a title. He was never given a position by any of his peers, any of his religious leaders in that day. He was not celebrated in his day. He never had any best-selling books. He never got a big salary. Never. Paul wasn't even received by most of the people he preached to. He would go out and preach this glorious gospel, and many of them rejected him, hated him. He was hated by most all of his kinsmen after the flesh because of the message he preached, because of this gospel, God's gospel. He said that his own personal assurance in his calling, the reason he felt so strongly that God had called him, his personal assurance, and he said his own glory was in his sufferings for preaching the gospel. He said, this is my glory. My sufferings for preaching the gospel. Paul was beaten for it. They beat him for preaching this gospel. He was whipped for it. He was stoned for it. He was shipwrecked. He was robbed. He is currently sitting in prison as he writes this. Writing this from prison. Put in prison for preaching this gospel. And this is what he says. He said, I cannot believe that God has honored me and given me such a great gift, shown so much favor to me by allowing me to preach the message of this gospel. I just can't believe it. Unto me. Look now at verse 7. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. I was made to be this. Chosen to this. I am what I am by the grace of God. He's the one who said that. I am but what I am by grace. I am what I am by the power of God. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. I get to go tell sinners. The Gentiles, those were any people who were not Jews. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And they were considered outcast. They were considered heathen. Not the natural nation that God said He was going to show favor to. Sinners. That's what they were considered. Sinners. That's what Gentiles represent. Sinners. And Paul said, I can't believe that I get to go tell sinners. I get to go tell sinners who do not realize their need of salvation. Have no idea truly how deep in sin they are. Dead in sin. I get to go tell sinners who are not owed it. I get to go tell sinners who do not deserve it how great things the Lord has done for them. Do you know that's why I'm here? You know why? That's why I preach this message to you right now. I get to tell how great things the Lord has done for us. Great, great things. He said, I've suffered. This is what Paul said. I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count it dung. Paul was a respected man. He lost that. Oh, he said, I had to leave it all. I count it all dung. Count it all dung. A true preacher is not looking to get rich. A true preacher is looking to glorify Christ. And he won't either. He won't. Because this world will reject the message. He will not be celebrated. Paul was not celebrated. But he said, I count it all dung. And the reason is because God has given me the great gift and the honor of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have one message to preach. And we have one message to believe. There's only one message to believe. Christ. Christ. By God's grace, we'll never stop preaching. And by His grace, we'll never stop believing throughout all of time and eternity. Never. The glory, the praise, the honor, the work of Jesus Christ. Not my glory, not my praise, not my honor, not my work. That's what we'll be saying throughout all eternity. Not unto me, Christ. Christ. Because the message of Christ, the message that looks into the things of Christ and sees Christ and hears Christ and knows Christ, that message is unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches. Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 11. It says in Romans 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." That's what unsearchable means. Past finding out. It's past finding out. They go infinitely farther than a man or a woman could ever dream of searching. It's so much farther than a man could ever search out. Now, for those to whom this grace is not given, there is no beauty in Christ and His honor and His glory and His work. There is no beauty in Him that they should desire Him. They don't want to give Him all the glory. They don't want to give Him all the praise. They don't want to honor Him for all the work He accomplished. They don't want to do that. There's no beauty that they should desire Him. There was a man one time who was appalled by the fact that the world does not naturally see Christ in the Scriptures. He was appalled that the world does not see Christ in all the Scriptures. And another man responded to him by saying, "The world didn't see Christ in the Christ. They didn't see God manifest in the flesh while He walked on this earth. They did not honor Him. He was here for 33 and a half years, and they didn't see God for 33 and a half years. Many didn't. And the reason is because they couldn't. That must be given. That has to be given. Eyes to see must be given. Ears to hear must be given. A heart that believes must be given. It has to be given. But to you who have received the gift of grace," that's who He is speaking to, those who have received the gift of grace, the gift of God's grace, "you know He's altogether lovely, isn't He? Oh, He's so lovely to us. The message of Christ is music to our ears. As soon as we hear His name and hear what He's done, we perk up. Because He's altogether lovely. He is unsearchable riches." Now let's take just a minute and try to search just a little bit of the unsearchable. All right, let's see if we can fathom just a small piece of the unfathomable. Let's start with the riches of His person. Let's look at Him and see the riches of His person, the riches of who He is. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 2. It says in Colossians 2, verse 9, "For in Him," in the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who walked this earth, "in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Him dwells all the fullness. All the fullness. All of the wisdom. All the wisdom of God. All of the knowledge of God. All of the judgment of God. All of the power of God. All of the ability of God. All of the Godhead. All of it. Everything that God is. Everything that God is capable of is contained in Him. It's contained in His body. All of it. Everything we can see on this earth, everything we can see. Everything we can see in space, He created it. He created every bit of it. He thought of it. He designed it. He spoke it into existence. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing. Everything that is actively continuing right now is being sustained by Him. Everything that's breathing. I'm breathing. You're breathing. Every heart that is beating. Every one of them. The perfect order of all things. By Him, the Scripture says, all things consist. All things keep going. Think about that. By Him, all things consist. He created all things. He created that heart. And by Him, it's still beating. By Him. Everything that is obeys Him. Everything. The unsearchable riches of His person. The unsearchable riches of His sovereignty and His power. While He walked this earth, this is an amazing thought to me. While He walked this earth, the wind obeyed Him. The waves obeyed Him. The waves of the sea obeyed Him. The waves obeyed Him. The angels obeyed Him. The devils obeyed Him. Every commandment He gave, every one of them, they obeyed Him. Diseases obeyed Him. The dead obeyed Him. Everything, everything obeyed the voice of the Almighty God. That's who He is, the glory of His person. In seeing that, we have to realize, though, that that's Him veiling His power from us. That's Him veiling Himself in human flesh. That's Him humbling Himself before us. That's what the Scripture says He did. He humbled Himself. That what we know of Him is at the lowest point of His own self-humiliation before us. Wait till we see Him now. High and lifted up in all of His exaltation. The person of His almighty power and sovereignty, it's unsearchable. Completely unsearchable. Now let's think about this. His kingdom is unsearchable. The Scripture says, of His kingdom there shall be no end. Don't you love that? The Scripture says, His throne is forever and ever. How long do you think forever is? Go in your mind into forever. See how far you can go into forever. It's forever. Never ending forever. We get so torn up over the 70 years that we're going to live out our life on this earth. We're just so torn up over it. What is 70 years compared to never ending forever? Forever. His person is unsearchable riches. His kingdom is unsearchable riches. His riches are unsearchable riches. He owns everything. He said, it's all mine. The Father said, He inherits all things. All things. The Apostle Paul was called up to the third heaven one time. And after he saw the unsearchable riches of His person and His kingdom and all that He has, Paul cried, I count everything here on this earth dung. It's all done, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. What unsearchable riches that is. To have Him is to have it all. It's to have it all. Now let's see if we can enter into the riches of His love. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is wonderful. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Oh, the riches of His condescension, the riches of His substitution. Though He was indescribably rich, yet for your sakes, He became indescribably poor, that you and I, through His poverty, might be rich. The substitution that He made for us completely redeemed us by completely destroying His own life. He redeemed ours through the destruction of His own. God sent His Son into the world, His only begotten Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. That payment, that atonement. And through that we have received the unsearchable riches of His glory in His life. Where sin abounded, the Scripture says, the unsearchable riches of His grace has much more abounded. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the cross. His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love, His accomplishment, His victory. Every bit of that abounded in the unsearchable riches of His death on the cross. Every bit of it. We had a debt no man could pay. We were bankrupt. We were hopeless. And then all of a sudden, the unsearchable riches of the gospel rang out. And God cried, "You're in Christ, and you're redeemed. In Christ, no condemnation. You're free to go." That's the riches of the gospel. In Christ, you're free. John said, "I write these things to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Oh, the unsearchable riches of His intercession for us. That Christ would intercede on our behalf, making intercession for His people every day, crying, "I paid for that through the riches of My blood." One more thing that we need to consider. Oh, the unsearchable riches of His return. The unsearchable riches of His return. He said when He comes back, He's going to gather His people to Himself. They're going to meet Him in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. He said it's a place where instead of the thorn is going to come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar is going to come up the myrtle tree. It's a place where the desert blossoms and flourishes as a rose, and lions and lambs dwell together side by side, and everything breaks out into rejoicing. And the reason is because He is there. It's all about Him. It's paradise because it's all about Him. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Till next week, may the Lord bless those riches to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.